Final hour here on this gorgeous Thursday. Darren McFarland, Derek Mason here at the Grove, this beautiful golf course, Korn Ferry Tour, Simmons Bank Open for the Snedeker Foundation. Let's talk a little hockey with our man Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet, 32 Thoughts, Hockey Night in Canada. He now joins us. Elliot, how we doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Well, a little disappointed that so far, and tonight will be the last round of game twos, so we'll be through two games after tonight, that there hasn't really been a whole lot of excitement. I mean, I've been watching these games going, where's the tight ones? I mean, there's been a whole lot of blowouts in these series thus far. I know L.A. Edmonton was a good one in game one, but obviously Edmonton responded in a big way. But are you surprised by that?
Boy, tough crowd.
Yeah,
tough
I know.
Crowd.
We're picky today.
Well, yeah,
we're outside.
You know
it's hot.
So loosen them up. Weren't you guys doing a show from a tequila bar once or something like that? I think you guys need to sample some of the products.
You know, management has vetoed those remotes moving forward for us.
I got to tell you, like, management, they ruin everything. Like, everything that's good, they ruin it. I would say, like, you know, we had the triple overtime game the other night, which
yep.
I worked. I would agree with you that we haven't yet had too many great individual games, but what I think we are headed to, if the first three nights are anything, we're headed to some really deep series. Like, I can't remember if it was last year or 2 years ago, but the first round had no game sevens. I don't think we're getting that this year. I think that as some of these series continue and go deeper, I think we're going to get some better games. I think we're going to get some deep series. And, you know, one of the things that's happening too, guys, is there's a lot of penalties being called. And I'm curious to see if this is just early or this is really the way it's going to be. Because if it's the way it's going to be, if you have a good power play, you're going to blow out people. I'm not sure I like it.
Well, that's exactly where I was going next. We have been talking about that, Elliot, because, one, we were getting asked by a lot of listeners, do you think they're going to swallow the whistles for the playoffs? Do you think they're going to call it differently? And we were like, well, we're about to find out. Well, we have found out. What was Carolina last night? 2 of 9 on the power
yeah.
play. I've seen, was it Tampa Bay? Was 0 for 5 in the first game and then, like, 1 for 7 or 6 or something again. In other words, there's just, as you mentioned, there have been a ton of power play. Minnesota was 0 for 6 on the power play in game one. They're not swallowing the whistle, are they?
No, they're not. They're not swallowing the whistle. And I don't have a problem if they're legit penalties. I go back and forth on this one, guys. Like, to me, like, I don't want to see rugby out there. I want to see the best players be able to perform. And, like, for example, last year, Connor McDavid in 4 games against Winnipeg was not fouled once, according to the penalty sheet. And that's not right. But I'm not sure I want to see, a total penalty fest. I think the playoffs are meant to be won 5-on-5 at even strength. Now, if a team really abuses that, you have to penalize them. And I don't think I'm even criticizing the referees right now. I just think that they're feeling the games out just like the players are. And so I'm curious to see if this is going to last or this is continue. But, you know, you talked about Tampa-Toronto. Game one, Tampa power play was awful. Toronto actually had more chances shorthanded than Tampa Bay had with the power play. And they won. And last night, Tampa's power play was very dangerous, and that was a major reason they won. St. Louis scored, I think, 3 times on the power play in game number one. They won. Last night, their power play didn't score. They lose. I just don't want it to be that. I don't want this to be... The power plays are important, and they have to be good, but I hope that we don't get situations where the Stanley Cup is being decided because you have a better power play. I don't think I want that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Colorado got they jumped on the power play just 2 minutes into game one and scored a power play goal, and away they went. And it was the power play goal that got the whole night started just over 2 minutes in. So you said you're at MSG for the Rangers Penguins?
I'm in Toronto with the studio.
You're in Toronto, okay.
But one of our major, like, we pick four of our, like, we air all of the playoffs, but we have four major series, the three Canadian teams, and the other one is Rangers Penguins because of Sidney Crosby. You know, Canadian fans are kind of moderately interested in what he does.
just a smidge. Well, we actually had a couple listeners ask if you were going to be traveling for the playoffs, and we said we're not sure. We'll have to ask. So
Stanley Cup
that
final.
Answers that. Stanley Cup final. So how big was Edmonton's win last night? Because you can only imagine. We all can only imagine if they would have gotten down 0-2 to L.A. and the two games they dropped out of the gates were home games. Obviously, they came out and responded, but do you think that was kind of the launching point for them for this series moving forward, that they'll take control now, or does L.A. even it up or take control back in Los Angeles?
Yeah, like I'm a big believer that if you're a good team, Chase, that you don't – like momentum doesn't necessarily go game to game in the playoffs. I think a good team understands that you're going to lose and you're going to have things that go wrong, and at the end of the day, it's only one game. And so, like, Edmonton got LA pretty good last night. They were full marks for that win, and I think the best thing that happened for Edmonton was that, you know, guys like Darnell Nurse got his first playoff goal. Evander Kane got 3 points. Leon Draisaitl got off the schneid. Connor McDavid had a good night. Like, everybody's going to go away from that game for Edmonton feeling really good about themselves. And I think that's a good thing. But I think a team like LA, which knows that it has to play a certain way to win, I think good teams say, you know what, that was one game. And when the puck drops game three, the series is 1-1 and it starts all over again. And I don't think anybody thought either Edmonton or Los Angeles was going to sweep that series. Nobody thought that. You know you're going to lose. You know you get a shot to come back, and you reset. And I think the Kings will reset at home, and I think the Oilers will know that it may have looked pretty on the scorecard, but it's not going to matter if they don't show up to play hard again on Friday.
All right, Elliot, I'm sure Chase is listening. So this is Darren. So when ask the dumb questions, you don't blame Chase.
Sorry, Darren.
See?
I apologize. I apologize for that.
Because I'm sure Chase is going, oh, crap, he thinks that's me. And then when Darren asks stupid questions, he's going to think that's me. So I just wanted to clarify.
Maybe that's what happened, Darren, is that I thought it was a bad question, so I just assumed it was Chase.
Wow. Boy, that turned in a hurry, didn't it? All right, your observations, because obviously we know that – let's get past the UC Soros, and we don't expect him to be available. So we know there's a huge drop-off from the starter to whoever the backup, and I think John Hines has just announced that it's going to be Connor Ingram. No surprise for game two. But other than that, because we know that, but what other takeaways did you take away from game one from the lopsided Colorado win?
Well, you know, I think the one thing is that like, you talk about Soros not being there. I think everybody understands, and Derek, you've played in these kinds of games before. Like, if a starter's not there and there's a person who has to go in, and let's just say they're not as good as Soros, that's not an insult because Soros is one of the best goalies in the league. All you want to see is the person battle. Like, did you leave everything out there? Did you compete as hard as you could? And let's just say for argument's sake tonight, like Colorado wins the game 3-1, but Ingram plays his heart out and battles. I think everybody on the Predators roster and everybody in the fan base is going to be okay with that. I think the toughest thing about what happened the other night is that, you know, you're going into that game and you're saying, okay, we know we don't have Soros, but this is our plan, and we're going to try to make it work, and all we just want to do is compete. and you never had a chance. Like, it never, like, you were never in the game. And I think that what Ingram, if Ingram can just hold Colorado early, give the Predators a feeling that we have a chance to win this game or we're at least in the game, I think it changes for you. It doesn't mean you're going to necessarily win, but what Ingram has to do tonight is convince the Predators that they've got a shot in the game. Now, look, after it was 5-0, I thought you guys played pretty hard and you battled them to a standstill. I was having a big argument last night with a couple of the guys I work with, Kelly Rudy and Kevin Bieksa, who both had very long NHL careers. And I said, like, when you're down 5-0 and the rest of the game is 2-2, does that matter? And you know what they said? They said, whether it does matter or it doesn't matter, you have to convince yourself it matters. Like if you're the Predators and you're John Hines, you're selling the Predators today on, yeah, we got blown out early, but after that, we played hard and we battled them to a standstill. So what you need from Ingram tonight is just get the Predators through the first few minutes, because if Colorado goes up early, the Predators are going to sag. Like, it's just going to happen. And then you worry that it's an avalanche again, literally. I think if he can just battle them through the first 10 minutes and then the first period, I just think it gives them a fighting chance. You have to convince your roster you have a fighting chance to compete in this game tonight.
Now, Elliot, with that being said, do you think the approach should be that they think more defensively than anything to try to protect a young Connor Ingram and not put him sort of in the same position that Riddick was in the last game?
I'm torn on this. I think you have to, but I think you have to play to the identity of your team. Like if you're telling Roman Josi he can't be Roman Josi, you're not going to win the series anyway. So I think what you have to do is you have to find kind of the happy medium. Yes, you probably have to have a bit more situational awareness than you would have in the past. Yes, you probably have to take some fewer risks than you have in the past, but I think you have to be who you are, right? Mm-hmm. Like the Nashville Predators made the playoffs this season in a year where a lot of us didn't think they were going to make it by playing a certain way. And I know Saros was obviously a huge part of that, but I think you have to stick to your identity to some degree.
Now, with that being said, this team, if you, and I'm sure you watched it and were wondering, just like many of us were wondering, how can a team, knowing what the stakes are, knowing that you're playing with your backup goalie in Riddick, that you come out so flat? It just seems like, hey, listen, Colorado's a fast team. We understand it. But it just seemed like the Predators were in quicksand out there against the Avalanche.
Yes, I think that's true, and I think a couple things happened, Derek. I think that, number one, I think the whole Saros thing, it had an effect. I saw a team that wasn't very confident, and you're going into Colorado game one. Like, this year for the Avalanche, it's Stanley Cup or bust. Not getting to at least the final, it's a failure for them. And they know it. And they've been, like, they're one of these teams this year that it was an 82-game dress rehearsal for now. Like, what happened in the they had to get in, they had to clinch their spot, they did that, but generally the regular season just didn't matter to them. Now, so the moment the switch gets flipped for the playoffs, that team came out the other night and they were wired. They were at home. Their building was going bananas. They're like, we've been waiting for this all year. Like you were walking into literally a hornet's nest on Tuesday night. And you guys really weren't ready for it, and you got blown out. I think, number one, you'll be more ready for it tonight. I think there was some uncertainty there because the whole Saros thing, what's this really going to mean from us? But I just think it was, you know what, Derek? It was a stinker. It was a bad night. It shouldn't have happened. I think they got caught flat-footed. I think they were unsure of what it would be like without Saros, and you saw what happened. I think tonight They know they're going to be a little bit embarrassed, probably a lot embarrassed. They're going to have a better understanding of what they're walking into. And, you know, I think tonight's a pride game for you guys. Like I said, win or don't win, you at least have to show up. You can't let Colorado do that to you. And I think they got stung and they got hurt by the other night. And I think you're going to see a more Predators team tonight. Just Ingram has to give them a save or two early so everybody, like Boston, Carolina the other night, not game two, but game one, their backup, the first 10 minutes was a total onslaught from the Bruins. And once the Hurricanes survived that, they said, okay, our guy is good here, and they blew them out. And they've now blown them out twice in a row. Well, you just need Ingram to show you that you're in the battle, and he's in the battle. If that happens, I think you guys will compete much better.
Elliot, we're in hour number four of the show today, and our theme has been the Predators' first period tonight has to be like a can of biscuits. They need to come out and explode, and periods two and three need to be like the biscuits in the oven. They need to rise up. Okay? We're gonna leave you with that.
I got to tell you, that's really good. My my sisters used to have a Betty Crocker oven when we were kids, and they loved it. So I completely understand where you guys are coming from.
We'll find out if we have a biscuit theme with you next week or not. Thanks for the visit, as always. Enjoy the playoffs. We'll talk soon.
All right, guys. Have yourselves a great week.
All right, you too. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet. 32 Thoughts Hockey Night in Canada. Before we get out of here, Willie Donick has caught up with Ryan Johansson. We'll hear that before we get out of here in the final hour. More coming here on DDC ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking of golf, since we're here at the Grove and the Simmons Bank Open, you can join us. Music City Celebrity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor. We're looking forward to this. This is going to be on May 16th. At Hermitage Golf Course. That is just 11 days away. Put your team together and come play with athletes, musicians, and other local celebrities. Sign up at thegamenashville.com/golf. Back here on the DDC. A lot of people weighing in on minor league names. Amy from Arkansas says, my favorite minor league team name is the Amarillo Sod Poodles.
Okay, Amarillo Sod Poodles. I can't even begin to say I know what that is.
Yeah, that one is – that sounds like a place where
– the poodles go or
prospects get sent that aren't really prospects. Yeah, we're going to need you to go to Amarillo. We got you're going to be a sod poodle. What?
You're going to be a sod poodle for a long time.
Yeah. We're going to send you down there with the sod poodles and –
good luck.
Well, we love you, just so you know. Amarillo's nice. Todd. The Amarillo Sod Poodles.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Let's see. We've got another one from Donnie on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Nominee for best minor league baseball name, the Savannah Bananas. I like that one.
Savannah Bananas.
I'm familiar with Savannah Bananas.
It kind of rhymes. It flows.
I love bananas, so I love Savannah Bananas.
Savannah Bananas. That flows.
It does.
I like that.
I do.
I can play in that league. I can play on that team.
I could play for the Savannah.
Savannah Bananas.
You see, Elliot brings up tequila and margaritas, and I can't talk anymore.
But the Florence Yalls.
What is it?
The Florence Yalls.
Okay, so is that real?
Yes.
That's Florence, Kentucky, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so just growing up in and around that area, because we used to go to Lexington to Cincinnati all the time, and you would go through Florence, Kentucky, I suspect. Now, this is the story from what I remember. This is one of those deals where you hear all this stuff growing up, and then you look back later on in life and you're like, was that all just a bunch of crap or was that real? So there was, you know, when malls were a big deal.
Uh-huh. When they were.
You know, when they just weren't used for older people to walk around and get steps.
Uh-huh.
There was actual malls everywhere. There, Florence Mall was huge.
Uh-huh.
And there's this giant water tower right by the mall. And so when you went by on the interstate, going to Cincinnati, mm-hmm. you went by this gigantic Florence Mall and this huge water tower, and they painted Florence Mall on it.
Mm.
And I guess the city or somebody said, no, you can't do that. You can't put advertisement up there on that water tower. You can't do that. So they changed it to, rather than take it off or paint over it, it says Florence Y'all instead of Florence Mall. Now, that's the story I was always told. Why are you laughing at that? So for as long as I can remember, that water tower next to the mall has always said Florence Y'all.
Okay. Florence, y'all.
So I'm assuming it's stuck for that long so they named their minor league team that?
Yeah, Florence, y'all.
I've never heard that one.
The Florence, y'alls. But what is okay, that's the name of their minor league team, Florence, y'alls.
So what
is the mascot? What is the mascot?
I don't know.
Is it Flo?
The mascot is literally the water tower, actually.
So I am onto something. Yeah. I was unaware of that team. So it is the water tower. Okay, see?
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's a good
idea. Darren is saying after all. So there you go.
Byron wants to weigh in on the Gap outlet in Florence is amazing. Take your word for it.
Okay. Okay.
Out of all that, we got a Gap reference. Okay. All
right, take your word for it.
The Gap outlet is amazing in Florence, y'all.
Is it Baby Gap or just the regular Gap?
I don't know. That's Byron. I don't know.
Man.
We're getting on the text line, Montgomery Biscuits. Yeah, I said that. That's definitely all for that. Chris in Gallatin says the Hartford Yard Goats. Look, some of these I have no idea.
Hartford Yard Goats.
The listeners are just having fun or if this is real. I don't know.
HYG. HYG.
The Hartford Yard Goats.
I like that name.
Why? What do you like about it?
I don't know. It's just the Yard Goats. Like you coming to us, you come here, we'll eat you up.
Now, okay, tell me let's see if you buy the BS meter on this one or if you hit the button or not. Again, I'm the messenger just reading on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Troy in Murfreesboro says, I love Lansing Lug Nuts.
No, that's true. I believe that's true. So I believe it is true.
Well, you should know.
Yeah, I think I believe it is true.
Is there really Lansing Lug Nuts?
I think it is. I think, yes, it is.
Nick's saying yes.
That's a good name, though, LL.
But you're doing the yes question mark. Yes?
I didn't. Yes? It does ring a bell, but I'm like, man, girl, is it? I think it is. But that is a good. That's a Lansing Lug Nuts, LL. I can see that being on a baseball cap, can't you?
Yeah, but I mean, Lug Nuts for a baseball team?
Yeah, the Lug Nuts.
I mean, I know we just said y'alls and
yeah, exactly.
sod poodles and
and the yard goats.
Unnamed texture says Nola used to have the baby cakes. That is true. I don't know if they're
baby
still
cakes?
They're AAA New Orleans.
Oh, wow,
they were the baby cakes. I think they still are. I don't know. I'm not positive.
Are they good? With a name called the baby cakes, I don't know if it's going to be that good.
Tom, I don't know if they're being serious. I think they are, but Tom on our text line says there used to be a team called the Macon Whoopee.
No, he's lying. I call BS on that.
He says they're out of Macon, Georgia.
I call BS.
That's what Tom says.
I call BS on that one.
He says there is a minor league team called Macon Whoopee.
No. Huh?
There's an El Paso Chihuahua.
Yes, that is true. Yes, I'm familiar with El Paso
but the Macon
Chihuahuas.
The Macon Whoopies.
Out of Macon, Georgia.
Yeah.
You're calling BS.
Yeah, I'm calling BS on that one.
Okay. When we come back, Vili is in Denver, and Vili has caught up with Ryan Johansson. So we're going to hear a conversation with Vili and Joey That'll be next here on the DDC, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on the DDC, we're at the Grove. Let's head out to Denver, Colorado. Vili is standing by with Ryan Johansson.
When there's a situation like our game one, and we're obviously we weren't at a level where we needed to be, it's, you know, you don't want to overanalyze everything and look at all the stuff, and you just want to keep your focus simple and going out there and worrying about playing your best game possible as individuals and as a team, and we just want to go out there tonight and execute our game plan as we know we can, and keep it as simple as that, and have a smile on our face all day and just be ready to work our butts off and have some fun.
These guys are obviously a great team, but I think you guys all believe that the gap isn't as wide as it showed the other night. You guys certainly are just a few plays away from settling in the way you want to and give yourself a chance to win.
We looked at a lot of stuff, obviously, and a lot of it we felt it was self-inflicted and things that just we didn't execute and we needed to do better. And like I said, it's not about overthinking, and it's just about going out there and finding a way to win a hockey game. And we'd love to go back to Nashville at the series at 1-1.
You see a lot of young guys. I'm thinking of guys like Yakov, Trenin, and Tanner Janot, young players who you could see how badly they want to succeed, and they're trying so hard. What's that line like, especially as a young player? You think back to those days where, you know, almost you have to remind yourself to sort of slow things down a little bit.
Yeah, well, there's a line we use in hockey sometimes and work. You got to, instead of working so hard, just work smarter. And that's, sometimes that can happen. And you go out in game one and you're just working so hard that you're not in good positions and you're not in the right places where you should be. So that was kind of a case of game one. I think we just weren't working as smart as we needed to. So I think I'm excited for tonight and see our response. We know we have a lot better and we have that confidence. So it's just about going out there together and doing what we know we can do.
You look around the league, a lot of the series, game two was very, very different than game one. I'm sure that's what you guys are obviously hoping for tonight, but we see it around the playoffs.
Yep. No, there's a, exactly. It's playoff hockey. Kind of anything can happen. Anything, whatever you think can't happen, kind of does happen. The only thing that matters is they won game one. Doesn't matter the score. You look at the Rangers-Pittsburgh series and their game one, triple OT. They're up 1-0, the same as Colorado's up 1-0 right now. So, like I said, it'd be an awesome feeling to hop on that plane tomorrow and head back to Nashville at the series 1-1 and get back there and do our thing at home.
Joey, thanks for walking and talking. Good luck tonight.
Thanks, Willie.
Did he say Willie or did he say Billy?
I'm going to say he said Billy.
You think he said Billy?
But I think he said Willie, but I'm going to say I heard Billy.
I wasn't sure. I think he may have said Billy.
Yeah.
But I don't think he did. I think he said Billy.
I don't think he said Billy.
If it was going to come from anyone saying Billy, it would be Johansson.
Yeah, exactly.
So what did you take from that?
Oh, man. I mean, they understand.
Work smarter, not harder.
Yeah. They understand that, listen, it's one game. And they didn't play the way that they wanted to in the first game, but it doesn't dictate how the series will remain or how the series will continue to go. One game is one game. They put it past them, and they moved on to the game tonight. So they just need to play much better than they did before, than they did Tuesday, excuse me. That's what I gather. That's what I get from it. And that's been a sentiment. If you've listened to the interviews post Tuesday's game, whether it's Coach Himes, Johansson, Forsberg, anyway, that has been the sentiment. This is a long series. You know, one game doesn't determine who's going to win the series. They just can't play the way they did the first game, the second game. They can't play like that.
Head coach Sean Hines has said it will indeed be Connor Ingram tonight when they drop the puck at 8:30. Of course, you can hear all the action here on these airwaves. I'll have pregame for you at 7:30. No surprise there. And look, I think if Connor Ingram can look pretty good tonight, and even if pretty good is in a tough loss or a close loss, I think they'll probably continue on with him.
Well, whatever happens, you can't.
But he'll have a short leash.
Of course.
Everybody's going to have a short leash, you know. If you're not named UC Soros, you're going to have a short leash no matter what.
But, okay. With that, I understand what you're saying about the short leash. But as long as the game doesn't start off the way it did Tuesday, but say he still give up, at the end he still gives up, five goals. Elliott said the game's going to be 5-3, but he still gives up five goals. I don't think John Himes can keep on going back and forth, because there's a certain way, and correct me if I'm wrong, there's a certain way that you play when Soros is in the net. There's a certain way you play when Riddick's in the net. And obviously there's a certain way you play versus Ingram in the net, right?
Am I wrong? With Ingram and Riddick, I don't know. I mean,
what I'm saying is you can't keep
Riddick
going back and forth.
Riddick hardly played this season.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Because UC had so many starts, which, has had a lot of people going, say, that's why he don't start so much. Like, it's okay. It's hindsight. Like, really? You're saying that now when he gets hurt? Like, of course. Like, you've been waiting to use that. And I know people have brought it. It's not like people haven't brought up the start load, because we've certainly talked about it a bunch, the workload. But, I mean, Connor Ingram is now he's made, what, two starts during the regular season? Back at the beginning of the year, I don't know if you play any different with Ingram and with Riddick. There's just so little, I don't think the answer is yes, you play different from one to the other. These are just two backup guys, and one of them has to start.
Yes. Okay, let's say the strategy may be a little bit different. Not necessarily, and that's maybe I use wrong choice of words. The strategy may be a little bit different from Riddick to Ingram. Now, if that is indeed the case, then to me, if we know Riddick gave up five goals in the first period, well, if Connor Ingram gives up five goals in three periods, I don't think you can keep on going back and forth. Because five goals in one period is different from five goals in three periods. Even though I know it still equals up to five goals, and more than likely you're on the losing end. But I see it a little bit different. And then so my thing is then the strategy is a little bit different with the two in net. And I could be completely wrong on that. That's why I'm saying you can't keep going back and forth from goalie to goalie. I think you gotta trust one. If you trust Ingram and he still gives up five goals, but you look at it and say, well, those five goals are not, I don't look at those five goals the same as I looked at the five goals Riddick gave up. Well, if you look at them a little bit better, you say, well, I'm going to keep Connor Ingram in goal for another game and see what happens.
I think your trust is like I trust my 10-year-old. It's like, I trust you.
Uh-huh.
But I'm still kind of watching closely. Like,
okay.
You can't have full trust.
Yeah.
With those guys with such little at this level against this. I mean, to me, it's like, okay, I trust you, but I trust you until I can't trust you. And then I got to switch. I don't think you can be locked. Uh-huh. In this situation, I do not think you can be locked in. I just think you're literally playing period by period as a coach and
game by
just
game.
Trying to get by game, period by period with whoever's in net. And whoever at the time has given you decent netminder play. That's the way I look at it. I don't think it's like, hey, we can't keep going back and forth. Well, you can if it doesn't work out for Connor Ingram tonight. Mm-hmm. Then yeah, I think you can go right back to Riddick and then hope that he changes. Mm-hmm. That's just me.
So would you? I want to ask you a question on the other side.
Okay. We'll come back, put a bow on Thursday's edition of the DDC. We do that next. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be playing on Friday. It's not Friday yet. This is what we hear. The final segment of Friday. Is it Friday already? No, we got asked that on the text line. No, yeah. You just made the list just tomorrow.
Exactly.
Tomorrow is Friday. Speaking of that, if you're going to be up north of town, you should check out the food court at the Rivergate Mall. Not y'all. It's the Rivergate Mall. Not the Rivergate y'all. The food court at the Rivergate Mall from 12:30 to 2:30. That is p.m. That's in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Get there. Get a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Game 3, Preds-Avs, Bridgestone Arena. Robbie Stanley will be there. Robbie Stanley. He'll be there tomorrow. Food court in Rivergate Mall. Rivergate Mall from 12:30 until 2:30. Getting a lot more. By the way, we got a lot of people, lots, who absolutely swear on their radio Bible that Macon Whoopee actually used to be a hockey team, but they were for real. They used
Seriously?
To be. It used to be a hockey team.
Man.
They're not anymore. But they were a professional hockey team that played from, I guess, the mid-90s to the early 2000s.
No wonder they're not
weren't
a
baseball
team
but a hockey team. Macon Whoopee.
Wow.
We
I've heard some names.
A lot of response from people.
But that might be the best one.
Ed in Fairview said, last summer I went to a Macon Bacon game. And that is a baseball team. He said he got a hat and a shirt to prove it. Macon Bacon.
I like that. Macon Bacon. Even though I'm not a meat eater, but Macon Bacon sounds nice.
Oh, I would be all for Macon Bacon right now. Gosh, I would be all about that. Gator Mike says there's a vote for Rock City Trash Pandas. We brought that up. That's a good one. Josh from Nashville, absolutely Macon Whoopee. Said, I saw them play the Nashville Nighthawks.
Macon Whoopee on how to stop. I'm going to stop. I'm going to leave that one alone. That was teed up perfectly. Oh, man.
Jennifer tweeted at me and said, can absolutely confirm the water tower still says Florence, y'all. I pass it every time I drive from Clarksville up to Canton, Ohio.
Wow.
There you go. I mean, I'm not surprised because it's
Florence,
been there forever.
Y'all.
That water tower, it says Florence, y'all, has been there forever, as long as I can remember.
Florence, y'all.
And I'm 32 years old, so that's a long time.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. 32 long years.
Yep, 32. Story, and I'm sticking to it. All right, what's your question?
Okay, my question is, because of the goalie situation, do you think it would have, you know, because they might end up going back and forth. We just don't know. Hope not. But do you think that that John should have just left Reddy Ken? I mean,
no.
The way that they were playing,
no.
They had no chance of coming back.
No, but you have to calm things down. Like, you do. Like, it's just – it's like anything. You know, baseball, anything where you have to pull someone – like, no, it was time.
See, the only sport they don't do that in is football. They're not going to pull a starting quarterback. Nah, very seldom do you see the starting quarterback.
It's definitely not like the hook in baseball or hockey, for sure.
Yeah.
I would definitely agree with you. Mm-hmm. That they tend to leave starting quarterback, which is weird. It's a really good point. Like, I don't know why. Like, their leash seems to be way longer in football than hockey and baseball.
Yeah, I mean, you could say typically the quarterback is the highest paid person on your team. And
yeah,
so
but even in college, I mean, do they really? I mean, I guess sometimes.
In college, they might do it a little bit quicker.
Yeah, definitely quicker than the pros.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, typically you don't see quarterbacks yanked.
Yeah. Because they look at a quarterback from a psychological standpoint.
Like hockey and baseball where they're like, you're done, man. Like, it's just not your day. And they're just like, okay, you're out. Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's why I was saying, like.
Is it because those sports are longer and football is a much shorter season? Does that play into it?
I don't know. But then it could be the psyche.
It's like, we need you to live another day. Like, this is a long season. Forget today. You know, we'll worry about, you know, the next game. In football, it's, you know, you got a week in between games. I don't know. Shorter season.
Because I look at the quarterback and the goalie sort of as the same, in the same space, in a sense, to me. Because, yes, I am the quarterback. Yes, I am the goalie. But everybody in front of me needs to do their job in order for me to do my job effectively. You see what I'm saying? The quarterback, if you want to have a passing team, then the offensive line needs to be doing their job and the receivers need to be catching the ball. I got the best quarterback with the best arm and reads everything perfectly, but if everybody's dropping balls and offensive line's not blocking, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the goalie sort of like that too. You know, like I can be doing everything I'm supposed to in net, but if, you know, you have mistakes, turnovers.
Now, look, that happened. The shorty was bad. The turnover was bad, but – still, five goals. Yeah. The other three were just – they were not. One bounced off his helmet.
Yeah.
The fifth one just wasn't.
They were – they looked bad.
It was soft.
They looked bad. Soft goals.
It was time.
Yeah.
It was time. Unnamed texter on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com says, if there was a team in town named the McFarlands, Pete Weber would definitely want the mascot or the nickname to be the Shakes. I agree with that.
Yeah,
and I would
absolutely
want that. Because how cool would promotions be, right?
The McFarlands.
Every home
shakes.
Run, you get everybody gets a shake.
Exactly.
Every pick something that happens, you get a shake.
Hey, just be like, hey, you get a corn dog.
Now, we all may have to get gym memberships as well. With all the shakes, the free shakes that we get, but how good would life be? I think those games would be sellouts.
Yeah, it would be.
And why isn't there a team called the Shakes?
Yeah, I don't know. We need to get that going.
Yep. All right, that'll do it for our coverage here today at the Grove. We had a great time. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Boy, we'll find out tomorrow what the series looks like between the Predators and the Avalanche. We'll start that conversation at 10 o'clock to wrap up the week. Tomorrow we shall see you then.